Hare Krishna, everyone. We would like to welcome everyone to this very auspicious ceremony where these three candidates are receiving their Gayatri Mantra, their second initiation. Quite often we hold such ceremonies on an auspicious day like Janmashtami or Radhashtami, Narasingha Bhagavan's appearance day. Of course, today is Ekadasi. Very auspicious day. But actually, any day in which we hold this ceremony, welcoming these devotees more into the fold of Srila Prabhupada's family, ISKCON, is auspicious. Any day is made auspicious by the performance of Krishna consciousness, and without the practice of Krishna consciousness, any of the nine items, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Shmaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Bandham, Dasim, Sakyam, Atmani, Vedanam, without the observance of the practice of any of those nine practices of Krishna consciousness, the day is inauspicious. The definition of auspicious is that which brings us closer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. And conversely, a definition of inauspiciousness is any activity which takes us further from the lotus feet of the Lord. Even if it might be activity which is considered good in the public eye, for example, if someone might give in charity, but for a selfish purpose, that a person may be giving money, not that he's so concerned with the downtrodden, but he's more interested in his reputation as a big humanitarian. That, like that. To the mundane person, it may seem, oh, this is very auspicious. But because it's not in relationship to pleasing Krishna, we don't consider it on the transcendental platform. Mamchayo vichayana bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaita brahma buya kalpate. That those who are engaged in the process of devotional service, they alone transcend the three modes of material nature and come to the level of Brahman. So any activity done outside of the authority of Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu, even though it may appear to the general populace to be something auspicious, if it doesn't fall within the realm of pleasing Hari, Guru, and Vaishnava, it's not considered transcendental. So this activity, this initiation ceremony, this is definitely auspicious because this brings one closer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It brings one closer to the spiritual master. The spiritual master is accepting the disciple either as first initiation. Today we're having second initiation. This tightens the bond, so to speak, between guru and disciple. And the closer that one comes to the lotus feet of the spiritual master, the more chance one has of going back home, back to Godhead. One time a devotee said to Prabhupada, "Sri Prabhupada, I always want to be close to your lotus feet." And Prabhupada chuckled. He said, "That's very difficult." The devotees got a little bit unsettled. That's difficult? Because Prabhupada said, "Yes, because these lotus feet are traveling all over the world." But because the devotee, and for the disciple, the spiritual master is the best devotee. That's why we accept him as guru, diksha or shiksha. The devotee, the pure devotee, is always situated at the lotus feet of the Lord by dint of his pure devotional service. Krishna says, one who says he's my devotee, who says he's my devotee, he's not my devotee. But one who's the devotee of my devotee, he is. One who says he is my devotee is not my devotee. One who says he's the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. So our connection with Krishna is through our spiritual master. And our connection with our spiritual master is through hearing from him and following his instructions. That is the real connection. The real connection from our spiritual master is that we hear from him. Like Krishna says to Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, Tat Srinu. Listen, Arjuna. Listen to what I'm telling you. Tat Srinu. You listen. And when we hear the instruction, then we serve the instruction, and then we're bound up tightly with the spiritual master. Tadvidi paripatina paripashana sevaya upadekshanti teginam ganinash tatva darshana. Basic instruction. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Number one, inquire from him submissively. Number two, sevaya, serve him nicely. In this way, the relationship is established. So when the spiritual master sees that the disciple is hearing and following the instructions nicely, he has proved himself worthy of the principle of being a disciple. He's hearing the instruction and he's acting on the instructions nicely. When that steadiness is there, at that time the spiritual master is pleased to award the Gayatri, the second initiation. One time Prabhupada said, first initiation is like an inspiration. Of course, we understand that that's all that's actually required. If one only has, I don't know if I could even say that, only has Harinam initiation, because that's everything. If one has the holy name, he has Krishna, he has everything. And that is the process in this age, the authorized process. So if one were only to receive the Maha Mantra and chant faithfully every day, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, and follow the four regulative principles, refrain from sinful activity, because at first initiation the heart is cleansed, spiritual master accepts the karma, so the heart is cleansed. So if one just chants, chant, then there's every chance that one can go back home, back to Godhead. One time in Bhakti Sudhana Saraswati Thakur gave a talk, an initiation ceremony, early 1930s. He said, I see no reason why all my disciples cannot go back to Godhead in this very lifetime. Kali Kali Nama Rupa Krishna Avatar. Because the holy name of Krishna is the avatar of Krishna in this age. Of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the avatar, but he has brought the process, the Nam Rup, the form of Krishna in his holy name. And if one chants without offenses, following the regulative principles, every chance one can go back home, back to Godhead. But this Gayatri Mantra, this is an extra added incentive. Because really, Daivyesha Gunamaya Mama Maya Dharatya, this divine energy of mine consisting of the three modes of material nature is very difficult to overcome. Now, if God says that, that's the highest stamp of approval. If Krishna says, this energy, this material world, is very difficult to overcome, this should cause us to tremble before God. Oh my God, what are we going to do? The one who surrenders unto me is easily delivered. So surrendering unto Krishna means surrendering unto Krishna's instruction to take shelter of his devotee in the form of the spiritual master. So although the Hare Krishna mantra is more than sufficient for awakening our love for Krishna, the spiritual master gives the Gayatri mantra as an extra added incentive to the disciple to get back home, back to Godhead. Again, we need all the help we can get. Gayatri Mantra is a further blessing. We are, you could say, twice blessed. Twice blessed when we get the Gayatri Mantra. The Gayatri Mantra is actually the sound of Krishna's flute at the beginning of creation, when he initiated Bhamaji. He played his flute, and the sound of that flute was the Gayatri Mantra, which entered into the right ear of Brahma, because it contained all transcendental knowledge. It enlightened Brahma from within. And what did Brahma realize at that moment when he heard the Gayatri? He realized he was the eternal maidservant of Krishna. It's very clear what is the Siddhanta, the role. From the Lord's first initiation, Brahma was fortunate. He had Krishna as his guru. Of course, having Krishna's representative as guru is just as fortunate, because he is the full-fledged representative. But there are a few persons who Krishna is their guru, like Brahma, like Arjuna. One time a devotee asked Prabhupada, who's the spiritual master of all these Brajabasis? Because there's so many. Prabhupada laughed, Krishna, he is their guru. He is inspiring them from within. So, that you could say was the first initiation ceremony. And what was the result of that initiation ceremony? That Brahma realized that he was the eternal maidservant of Krishna. This says something. This means that the real guru is the Vaishnava guru, who gives one the highest param gati, the highest goal to achieve. Yes, there are other classes of transcendentalists. There's jnanis, there's yogis, and there's bhaktis. He comes every time we do an initiation here, really, isn't it? For the bananas, not the lecture. There's jnanis. Give him a banana, he'll go away. There's jnanis, there's yogis, and there's devotees. So those who are, those who are pursuing the path of yoga, they have their gurus. Those who are pursuing the path of jnana, they have their gurus. And those who are pursuing the path of bhakti, they have their gurus. And we offer our respects to both the disciples and the gurus, because they're not ordinary souls. They realize the futility of material existence and they want to achieve transcendence. This is very rare. Krishna says, out of hundreds and millions of people, perhaps one is interested in the science of self-realization. Of those few, he says, hardly one understands me in truth. So anyone who takes to the path of transcendence, who's trying to stop the turbulence of the mind and the senses and the selfishness and attain something transcendental, we offer our respects, even to the impersonalists, because they're meditating on an aspect of the Supreme, the effulgence of the Lord. But in our private discussions, because Prabhupada said that Bhagavad Gita class is open for everyone. The ABCs of spiritual life. But the XYZs, the Srimad Bhagavatam, that we generally give that class in just association of the devotees. Because one needs some basic understanding to appreciate who is Krishna, what is Krishna's position, we as his servants. And then we can understand the pastimes of the Lord, how to enter into that mood in those pastimes. So this is something intimate, you could say. Actually, sometimes devotees appear to be fanatics. Because we are so disgusted with material existence and so eager for Krishna consciousness that, you know, when Prabhupada Saraswati speaks about Vrindavan and how he'll never leave Vrindavan and how one should give up everything and just walk away from family and children and home and responsibilities and just come and take shelter of Radha and Krishna, it may sound like fanaticism. to the mundane person. But for one a little versed in Krishna consciousness, we can hope one day for such determination. So we would say that the only bona fide guru, really, is the guru who initiates you into Vaishnava mantra, by which you can achieve the highest goal. Because we are not satisfied with second best. We are not satisfied. It is not enough for us to simply transcend the material nature and remain merged into the Brahman. That is, for us, spiritual suicide. Not enough for us to conquer our senses and then on the basis of spiritual strength have mystic powers by which we can play with the very material energy that we're trying to become detached from. Like children play with toys, yogis play with material energy and they do amazing things like fly in the sky, walk on water, take things from a distant place. It's quite amazing, but it's all flirting with the material energy from the Vaishnava point of view. So mystic powers, merging into the Brahman. We don't want anything second best. We're only satisfied with Anibilasita Sunyam Gana Karma Navitam Anukalena Krishna Shilanam Bhakta Uttama. Pure devotional service. Not even devotional service that's mixed with any material desire for material enjoyment, mystic powers, merging into the Brahman. Devotional service as Krishna, which pleases Krishna, as Krishna desires. That, not even 18 karat gold, 22 karat gold. We want 24 karat gold. Here in India, you can get 22 karat gold. You can't get it in the West. 18 karat gold looks like silver compared to 22 karat gold. But 24 karat gold, which you can get in Hong Kong, that's better than 22. Now all the ladies are waking up. They add a trace element, which gives it some strength. Otherwise, the gold is too soft. They refined it, the Chinese. It's 24 karat, just enough little trace element, maybe 23.999, but almost 24. And that's what the ladies like. But the Vaishnava ladies, they want the real gold. They want the love of Krishna like the residents of Vrindavan have. Because why do they want it? So they'll be known as great devotees. They want that love because they know that love pleases Krishna the most. The definition of lust is for me, the definition of lust is what pleases Krishna. So that type of gold, that type of bhakti. And that is what is meant by that most important central verse to Gaudiya Vaishnavism, Vayashira Rupa Goswami, Anibilasita Sunyam. So just like in the Olympics nowadays, when there's the Olympic, it's coming up soon in Brazil. I think there's also Olympics coming up in London. So really, these days, people aren't satisfied with the silver. Not to speak of the bronze. You're kind of embarrassed if you're sitting on the podium with and you got a bronze medal. Although there may be 100 participants. If you get the bronze, it's like, oh, you're going to look... And the silver is like, okay, second best. Everybody wants the gold. So in the same way, the Vaishnava, although he's respectful even to an ant, because he sees the Lord in the heart of the ant. So he'll respect even an ant. Vidya vinaya sampane bravani gavihasani sunichava sapakicha pandita samadarshana. He sees with equal vision. He sees all these fallen souls are my brothers and sisters because we all have the same pita, have the same father ultimately. Krishna is the seed-giving father of all living entities. So he has that vision of equality. So he's respectful to other classes of transcendentalists, especially. But in his heart of hearts, he wants nothing but pure devotional service. And you can only get that in a disciplic succession of spiritual masters who are Vaishnavas. You can only get that. So this is a very special occasion. These devotees are getting their Gayatri Mantra, their extra added impetus, which will focus their meditation more deeply on Hari, Guru, and Vaishnava. Actually, Gayatri Mantra consists of 7 mantras, as the initiates will hear later, each chanted 10 times. And it's a very deep meditation. You could say Gayatri in traditional culture was what is now played over the radio in Bollywood songs. Unfortunately, it's been released in the airways. But in our Gaudiya tradition, our Gayatri is to meditate on the Lord and the spiritual master, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Lord's pastimes in Vrindavan, etc. like that. So this is an extra added in. So now the initiates have no excuse for not going back home, back to Godhead. Now the onus is on the disciple. Because they will receive the mantra from a bona fide spiritual master in disciplic succession, a very dear, intimate servant of our Acharya Srila Prabhupada, our Guru. So they will receive this Gayatri. So we expect to see an increase in devotional service. Like if you change the quality of your petrol from something mediocre to something, some high octane, then you expect the car to run better. So with this extra added impetus, the Hare Krishna mantra has been given, sufficient in and of itself, and here's a perk, the Gayatri, by which one can facilitate one's service by approaching the deity form of the Lord. That itself is a great impetus as well. Puja. In my own life, I know, and Maharaj also has deities in Carpentaria. It's a great impetus for us, our association with the deities. Responsibility is there. One looks towards the Brahmins as favored by the Guru. Not that the Guru has favorites, but that these disciples have excelled, so their example is to be followed. Not to be envious of, but to be glad for them and happy for them and wanting to follow in their footsteps to come to the same level like that. So it carries great weight, Brahman initiation. The mantra, the responsibility, the ability to worship the deity. Prabhupada said the mantra clears the mind of all mental speculation or doubt, which can be an obstacle in the path of devotional service. So it's like, again, you are on the path, but it's like you get into the fast lane. Like you're in the slow lane, and then you're in the middle lane, then you get into the fast lane. So with added mercy, one's responsibilities increase, and one's service should increase. This is the idea. If we get more mercy, it's not just for our own benefit, but mercy is something that's always meant to be shared. Like one time we were taking prasadam and with a number of my godmothers, and one of my disciples brought me some butter. This is some years ago. Not so many years ago. I won't try to save myself from embarrassment, but they bought some butter. And I chopped the butter and put it on my rice. And there was still some left. And Govinda Maharaj looked at me and said, "What are you doing?" "I'm eating butter." He said, "You're in the association of your godbrothers. You should share that butter with others." And I must have turned 4 shades of red or purple. So when taking prasadam, he said, "Everything is shared equally." So I'm just revealing my foolishness. Now you know who I really am. So whatever little was left, because I took a big chunk, I distributed. But sometimes the hardest lessons are the ones best learnt. And I always apply that little lesson in relationship to anything I receive in Krishna consciousness. Any mercy I get, it's always meant to be shared. Like, I consider any instruction that Prabhupada gave any individual disciple was, although it was meant for that particular disciple, it's relevant to any disciple because we're all on the same sinking ship in this material world. Only the spiritual master can save us from the calamity. So what is good for one is good for others as well. So whatever mercy we get, we're meant to share that mercy with others. That is a basic, fundamental, axiomatic fact in Krishna consciousness. And it turns into spiritual mathematics that 1 minus 1 equals 1,000. Any Sankirtan devotee knows this. 1 minus 1, whatever you've learned, whatever you have, you give it on Sankirtan. And out of appreciation, Guru and Guranga give you an abundance more. And then you don't hoard it like a chipmunk, but the same principle. You distribute. You receive, you give. You receive, you give. You receive. We are but instruments in the hands of the Lord. Through his devotees, Mahaprabhu distributes the same kirtan movement. We're not meant to hold. We're like the bank teller whose millions of dollars are coming through, but he's not claiming it his own. He's giving it out. So whatever mercy comes our way, we immediately exhaust it. Like Prabhupada said, money comes in the day, by the next morning it should be spent. So whatever mercy we get, we should share that mercy. And then we'll always be happy. That is the secret to happiness. Our anxiety is seeing people bereft of Krishna consciousness, and our happiness is seeing people get good. What about me? Don't worry about yourself. You're already delivered by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. Your deliverance is assured. Prabhupada said, deathlessness begins at the moment of initiation. We don't have to worry. We just serve our Guru, we serve Krishna, and our future is in their hands. But it can only be auspicious. Like the motto of the British Air Force, to fly, to serve. And this is Brahmana. This is the real meaning of Brahman. Brahmanas were just preachers. They would sit and preach. That was their business, so to speak. They would sit and remind people, remind the busy population, you're busy as bees, but don't forget Krishna. They would just sit. That's why they had little bellies. They weren't going to the gym and getting a flat belly. They were a little proud of their bellies. Big belly meant you were successful. In Vedic culture, like in African culture, they don't want to marry skinny girl. That means poor girl. They want to marry fat girl. The fatter means she comes from a richer family. So the belly meant that they were getting the offerings after the katha. They were getting the sweets. And they were looking like Ganesh. They weren't worried about how their body looked so much. They were worried about the deliverance. This was the real Brahminical community. They lived simply enough that they had time to preach. And they were getting so much because people could appreciate the value of transcendental knowledge, which burns all karmic reactions to ashes. People appreciated coming to the pure heart of a Brahmana. The mouth of the Brahman was considered so pure, always speaking about God, that if you fed the mouth of the Brahmana, you fed God. So people would come with lakhs of rupees and food and gold and silver and out of appreciation. And the Brahmana, who was totally shantushti, totally satisfied just by preaching the absolute truth and uplifting people, he took just toda toda. He just took little what was necessary for his maintenance, that's all. And the rest would be given in charity. Like when the Pandavas required funds for war, because war costs a lot of money. Manpower, artillery, guns, swords, transport, etc. They couldn't go into battle because they had no armor. armory. So Yudhishthira sent them in different directions to get things, and they went and procured funds here and there. It's described that they would visit the hermitages of sadhus who had performed yajnas, and they would find silver and gold utensils there and bring them back. The Brahmins just walk away. Also, for one big Ashwamedha sacrifice, the Pandavas found remnants of utensils that had been used by the Brahmanas but left behind. So the Brahmanas were not greedy. Kali Yuga began when the Brahmanas became attached to the facilities they were offered. And with the fall of Brahminical culture, Kshatriya culture fell, Vaishya culture was soon, and everyone became fallen. So the Brahmanas have that utmost responsibility, so therefore they're given all facility, but basically they're just busy preaching, sharing their good fortune with others. And their good fortune comes in the form of knowledge. And knowledge is the ornament of everything. Chanaka Panda said, the ornament of the night is the moon. The ornament of a kingdom is a pious king. The ornament of a woman is a Krishna conscious husband. And the ornament of everything is knowledge. By knowledge, by jnana, we become delivered from material existence, because the knowledge teaches us what to do and what not to do, how to walk through the minefield of material existence without getting hurt and getting safely through the other side. Transcendental knowledge takes us out of the material world and into the spiritual world. What could be more valuable than knowledge? For the intelligent class of man, it's the most highly esteemed commodity, knowledge. You don't have to tell a brahmana. Are you reading? Brahmanas are as eager to read and speak as a sudra is to work with his hands to build a temple, as a vaishya is to milk the cow. You don't have to tell a vaishya, milk the cow. They love to milk cows. They grab the udder of the cow, and there's that special way they do their fingers like that, and they put... They take great pleasure milking. Cow goes moo. Brahmana goes or the Vaishya goes ah, and he lifts the tail up. Go Mata Ki Jai. And a Kshatriya, you don't have to tell a Kshatriya, go into battle. He's already there before you can say it. They love to fight. They become restless. They become bored when there's no war to fight, bona fide war to uphold Dharma. Kshatriyas get restless. They always want to be engaged. They like to fight. They're not like the boys today who are sent to war. They're not fighters. They're not even Vaishya, not even Sudras. I don't know what they are. Kshatriyas like to fight. As a Brahmin is recognized by how many shlokas he can quote. He's a shlokwala. He can quote, he can support, he can back up anything he says by authority. And he must. If you read Prabhupada's lectures, in every single lecture, there's 10, 15, 20 verses quoted. He backs up everything. I am not saying, Krishna is saying. Everything is backed up. The ornament of a sudra is his calluses on his hands. A Vaishya always smells like cow dung, and he's proud of it. A Kshatriya's ornaments are his scars. He goes into battle, and he gets scars. Nowadays they have an ointment you can put on to make the scar go away. I didn't do that in many cases. They would put pepper, make the scar more red. Look, they've been in battle. That's a, and what is the ornament of a brahmana? The shlokas he knows. He's always, you don't have to say, can you give class? Why do you have the sacred thread? It means you can be called on at any moment to speak. Even ladies not that our ladies regularly give class. Sometimes they're asked to give class, and they do give class amongst the ladies. But they're always ready to preach. If they're sitting on a bus, Prabhupada said, if you've got time, chant Hare Krishna. Glorify the Lord. So if we're sitting on a bus, a brahmana will strike up a conversation. Where are you going? Well, what do you mean, where am I going? We're in the same place you're going. We're on the same bus. What do you mean, where are you going in your life? What? Did you ever think about where you're going in your life? No, I didn't really. Where should I be going? Well, let's have a little talk here. Always looking for the opportunity to deliver people from ignorance. This is really Brahman initiation. Of course, Brahman is, the qualities of Brahman are described in Bhagavad Gita, but Prabhupada summarized it. Brahman means clean and punctual. One time Prabhupada wrote a devotee in Chicago, Brahman means after drinking water, he washes his hands. He's so clean. If you visit a Brahman's house, pukka clean. A place for everything, everything in its place. Very neatly arranged, very clean, because you cannot think of Krishna in an atmosphere of ignorance, in an atmosphere of passion. You can only think of Krishna in a place that's sattvic. Of course, we should be able to remember Krishna everywhere, but this is a niti shastra. This is just practical advice, which is also helpful for devotees. To keep, you walk into Brahman's house any time of the day or night, clean, everything order, everything in its place, sattvic. It's a stepping stone towards transcendence. The monastic life is a stepping stone into sattvagun, or pure goodness. So we have all the principles of the monastic life. But the underlying principle of Brahman, he's a preacher. He may not be a sannyasi, he may not be a guru, he may not be a sankirtan devotee, but he's, if nothing else, he's preaching by example. The way he dresses, his or her demeanor, the way they talk, their ideas of life, their goals, it's all shuddha sattva. And you feel refreshed in the association of a brahmana vaishnava. Just to have their association is like taking a bath. After you take a bath, you feel refreshed. So after associating with a Brahmana Vaishnava, you feel refreshed. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastakoi, Lavramatra, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhihoi. This is the meaning, because that devotee is in touch with Krishna. And by touching him or her, you also become in touch with Krishna. So this is our little humble. I wasn't actually going to speak so long. Maharaj asked me to speak, but I always shy to speak in front of Maharaj. But I'll conclude here, and Maharaj will give the main address. But my humble request to the initiates that you be pukka brahmanas, realize your good fortune, this extra added incentive, and be good examples for the other devotees, and share, as Brahmins did in Vedic culture, share your good fortune, your Krishna consciousness with others, and don't just wait until the Christmas marathon. At any time, be prepared, in any place, it's Mahaprabhu's instruction, to share, because now you're entrusted with that. Now you're Brahmanas, you will be Brahmanas. Of course, we never even consider ourselves to be devotees. That you're Brahmanas, so you must enlighten others in the science. And if you feel a little shy to do that, you just make the effort and Krishna will give you that. I was discussing with Maharaj the other day. Along with the instruction of the spiritual master comes the ability to execute it. This is the mystery of Krishna. Tesham satadayuktanam bhajatam padipurvikam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayantite. To those who serve me with bhakti, with devotion, Krishna says, I give the intelligence by which they can come to me. So we may not feel, I'm shy to speak, I'm shy to say anything. Tesham satadeva, bhajatam bhadibhu, dadami buddhi yogam tam. To those who serve me with devotion, I give the intelligence. Krishna will help you, and we need brahmanas. We need bona fide brahmanas in human society, otherwise like a headless body, like a zombie or something. We need brahmanas. Prabhupada came to the West, and one of the first things he said, I want to create a brahminical order, a brahminical society to preach Krishna consciousness. And what did he do? Import brahmanas from India? No. He turned Westerners into brahmanas. This was Prabhupada's miracle. One time someone asked Prabhupada at a public program, Swamiji, what is your miracle? Because many times people in India, they'll accept you as a sadhu if you can do, they accept you as a great spiritual person. If you can do a miracle, like Sai Baba, that we hear he was able to produce gold chains, silver chains, and ashes. So Swamiji, what is your miracle? I said, my miracle? And he waved his hand. He indicated all his devotees sitting in the front row. He said, all these Western boys and girls, this is my miracle. What? I've transformed them from Malechas and Yavanas, Rakshashas. Rakshashas means man-eaters. I've transformed them from fallen condition to elevated condition. This is Prabhupada's miracle. And Sanatana Goswami, he quotes, as bell metal can be changed into gold by a mystical process, so one who accepts training and initiation by a bona fide Vaishnava guru, he can be accepted as a Brahmana Vaishnava. This is a miracle. That one prominent person in royalty in England, he requested one of Prabhupada's godbrothers who had come to England to preach Krishna consciousness. He said to the Prabhupada's godbrother, can you make me into a Brahmana? And Prabhupada's godbrother said, yes, of course I can, understanding this principle. They said, oh, very nice, I can be Brahmana. And the godbrother said, but you have to give up meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex, and gambling. Well, that I cannot do. Well, then I can't make you into a Brahmana. Because Brahmana is above, way above sinful activity. So how did Prabhupada do it? Even Prabhupada said when he was on the boat, he said, I was thinking that when I come to this America and ask them that you give up meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex and gambling, they will say, Swamiji, take your message and go back to India. He said that one time. He was thinking how it would be possible. But Prabhupada had full faith in the holy names, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. And he had full faith in the instructions of the spiritual master, and the rest is history. Not only did Prabhupada convince one, but he convinced thousands, and he interested hundreds of thousands, even to this day, by Prabhupada's mercy. People are still taking up Krishna consciousness. Like Pontius Pilate said to Jesus, I don't know if I should kill you or let you live. Because if I let you live, you'll keep preaching and be effective. But if I kill you, you'll also be effective. You'll be a martyr. This is the first martyr. After death, people will still be inspired by your example. How you sacrifice everything for God. What do I do with you? And it's true. After he was killed, then John the Baptist really, or was it Paul? Paul really began preaching Christianity. He made Christianity what it is. So Prabhupada had that he came to, and he created a class of brahmanas. This is a miracle, as he remarked of his own spiritual miracle done, your divine grace, in his Vyasa Puja. Well, this is Prabhupada, that he didn't import brahmanas from India, But he made brahmanas from the hippies, basically speaking. This is amazing. Like Prabhupada said one time. Just like Lord Ramachandra, he conquered Ravana with monkeys and bears. So I have conquered the world with my disciples. He can say it like that. We can laugh. Yes, you have made this dancing monkey into a sadhaka. Sadvi, sadva. So this is, and those brahmanas and brahmanis, they have gone on to preach Krishna consciousness. This is revolution. Actually, Bhakti Sananda Saraswati and our Gaudiya tradition, Gayatri was not offered to women prior to Srila Prabhupada. This is another revolutionary thing that Prabhupada did according to time, place, and circumstance. And the Acharya can do that because he fully understands. We can't imitate. We can make adjustments sometimes, but we can't introduce revolutionary things like that, that ladies would get Gayatri mantra. Only the men would get. Prabhupada was so kind with that vision of equality, seeing deep to the soul. This is a Vaishnava, Vaishnavi. And for the purpose of spreading Krishna consciousness, because deity worship is so important. If the pujaris dress the deities nicely and the Sankirtan devotees go out, they'll never be attracted by the material energy, remembering the beautiful form of the Lord they had darshan of in the morning. And the nice class the Prabhu gave, the Brahmana gave. That's a wonderful service to become a Brahmana. So take it to heart, strengthen your own devotional service, and be a Brahmana in the true sense of the word, and preach according to your ability. Share your good fortune with others. Srila Prabhupada ki, His Holiness Gurudev Swami Maharaj ki.